You're listening to Louisiana Considered here on WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge. I'm Patrick Madden, and on the show today, we'll be discussing the Claiborne Expressway, which was recently singled out by President Biden for the damage it caused New Orleans' Treme neighborhood when it was built in the 1960s. We'll speak with Amy Stelly, who for years has led the charge to remove the highway. But first, we begin the show with a big story published this week by The Gambit. It's a deep dive into the Louisiana Center for the Blind and allegations of a toxic culture there, including sexual misconduct and racism. That's based on interviews with many former students there by journalist Kaylee Poche of The Gambit. And Kaylee joins us right now. Kaylee, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, Kaylee, can tell us about the Louisiana Center for the Blind, what this organization does and how it's set up.
Okay, so the Louisiana Center for the Blind is a training center for the blind, and it teaches mostly adults skills such as cane travel, Braille, using technology, and different home economics type activities. And normally what happens is someone that's interested would go to the state vocational rehabilitation agency and work with a counselor to kind of go through this program and identify employment goals.
And so, Kaylee, I mean, you interviewed former students, you know, other people there, and they described a lot of problems for the students who are blind that attend there. And in particular, your feature starts off with a woman describing a really troubling incident, a sexual misconduct by one of the instructors there, and she ends up reporting this to the National Federation of the Blind. Tell us about this incident, how it was handled when it was reported, and how it fits into the bigger picture of some of the systemic issues that you found in your reporting.
Right. So basically, this incident happened in 2017. The Louisiana Center also has programs for high school students, middle school students that are shorter than the 9-month adult program. And so this happened to her while she was in a program for high school students. And, you know, it was inappropriate touching, she says, by one of the instructors there. And basically, back in December of 2020, a lot of people started coming forward and sharing their stories, and a lot of them had similar stories to her. And she, you know, felt empowered to come forward and share her story. And she reported it to the national organization. And after months of an investigation, they sent her a letter saying, among many things, that he had admitted to some of this behavior that she had reported, and that he would be, that they had let him go from the organization, permanently banned him from the national organization. I believe he was no longer working at the organization itself, but banned him publicly and recommended counseling, but there was no other consequences that were mentioned. And when you mentioned kind of how this fits into the larger culture, many students shared stories that they would go to leadership at the center and share incidents of sexual misconduct. And what would happen is, you know, maybe they would talk to the student, or sometimes it was unclear what happened, but the student would remain at the center, or, you know, and, you know, or would go on to hold
right
other positions in the organization.
And Kaylee, as we've seen with what's happening at LSU, with how schools are handling or mishandling these types of incidents, what's been the response from students there now? And I guess the other question is, how has the center responded to these allegations, and are they pledging any reforms at this point?
Yes. So back in December, both the president of the organization, the national organization, put out a letter, you know, saying, acknowledging that there were instances and stories dating back for decades within the organization. And the Louisiana Center put out a similar statement referring to the president's letter. And they've started up a survivors task force to kind of implement some new reforms in the organization. And they've also they've partnered with RAIN, a national anti-sexual violence organization, to kind of work on trainings and other reforms. But some survivors that I talked with say they feel as if the organization, the leadership of the organization, has not been held accountable.
And Kaylee, finally, just one other part of your story is about some of the methods that are used at the center. And for the students that you've talked with, or former students, they felt that it was particularly traumatizing, some of the methods they were using.
Right, yes. Some students kind of, you know, once these instances of sexual misconduct came up, people started sharing other stories about other forms of abuse they experienced at the center. And, you know, being forced to do things that maybe they had past traumas related to, or just kind of harsh language used by instructors.
Great. Well, Kaylee, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about your reporting. You can find it on The Gambit. Kaylee Poche, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This is Louisiana Considered on WWNO and WRKF. The Claiborne Avenue Expressway in New Orleans has been called the, quote, monster. When the elevated expressway was built in the 1960s, it cleaved through the Tremaine neighborhood, basically devastating a vibrant corridor of Black-owned businesses. For years, residents have tried to bring awareness to the damage and destruction brought by this highway, but little has changed. But last week, President Joe Biden, when the administration unveiled his infrastructure plan, singled out the Claiborne Expressway as an example of a historic inequity to address that he wants to address through billions in new transportation spending. But details at this point are still scarce. Here's what we know. The plan calls for $20 billion to reconnect neighborhoods cut off by old transportation projects. Now, joining us on the show today is Amy Stelly. She's an artist, designer, and planner who lives in Treme. And for the past decade, she's led the fight to remove the Claiborne Expressway and co-founded the Claiborne Avenue Alliance. She's also a board member of the New Orleans Urban Conservancy. Amy, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So, I mean, to start off with, tell us about Treme and what was happening there at the time before the Claiborne Expressway was built. Like, if you can paint a picture of what was going on.
Okay. Well, Treme was the heart and soul, economic soul of the Black community in New Orleans. And it was a place where you could get everything from fresh food, including live animals at the Circle Food Store. They would kill and dress your meat for you. There were butchers, dance shops, music stores. It was a very vibrant place for the community, and really the heart and soul, as I said, of the Black community in New Orleans, and a place for celebrations. So it was a great place for the city.
And then this expressway is built in the 60s. I mean, if you just want to kind of paint a picture to our audience, especially, you know, we also have listeners in Baton Rouge and around the state, sort of right, what it looks like now.
Well, it looks horrible now because I-10 through Treme in the 7th Ward has not really been maintained since it was built in 1968. So there are layers of crud from auto emissions. You can imagine what's in there. It's dark. The interstate was plopped right over the median. So the bones of the street are still very obvious there. But the most heartbreaking portion of the interstate, I think, goes through the Seventh Ward, where you can see these huge columns have just replaced hundreds of affordable housing. It's really sad, and it's dark and it's dank in the Seventh Ward and in Treme.
And before we get into some of the solutions or what this infrastructure plan might be, I mean, I'm curious, how did you get involved in this effort? Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Sure. Well, I grew up with I-10 over Claiborne and decided as a kid that it had to go. And I promised myself that when I grew up and became an adult and knew enough that I would just get rid of it. So when I returned to New Orleans in 2012, I'd spent many, many years in Florida where I actually learned quite a bit about architecture and planning. In 2012, the hotel was imploded alongside Claiborne, and I was quoted as saying that the interstate would be the next thing to come down, and that was the beginning of it. But my advocacy really took off when I opposed the city's plan to build a container village under the interstate. I thought it was a bad idea, as did other neighbors and allies, and that is really how the Alliance was born. And we've been vocal about removing the interstate ever since.
And you live in Treme now. What is it like having this right next to you?
Well, the interstate breeds a lot of bad stuff. So we have the homeless camps. Under the interstate has been fenced off in the CBD. So the homeless have just migrated further east. And they settle under the ramps and under various sections of the interstate. We have a lot of drug traffic, a lot of prostitution. At one point, a lot of gun traffic, but fortunately that has settled down quite a bit. But we still have all of the ills that come with living near an urban highway.
And I imagine some of those ills must be environmental hazards, pollution, right? Just having
yes.
that right near you.
Yes. So there is a thin layer of soot that settles on everybody's house, and it's from the emissions from the cars. And it doesn't only settle on the houses. If you have your windows open, it comes in the houses. And I was really startled to see how horrible and how much comes in. I had misplaced an earring that had landed. It was a silver earring that landed under my bedroom window on a counter. It just got, you know, lodged in a corner. And when I found it, it was pitch black. Its mate had been in my jewelry box. And the difference was astounding. The mate tarnished naturally, as silver does over time, if you're not using it or polishing it frequently. But this particular earring was jet black. And that was from all of the emissions that come through the window. And I have trees. Trees can be a filter. So you can imagine that people who are living without trees and who have their windows open have no filter. So everything is just, you know, blowing into their homes. It's really unhealthy. And I have to take a moment to actually thank the students at LSU who have done research and written reports about what's in the air around our urban highway.
And Amy, I mean, you've called for the removal of the expressway, and I'm sure when you said this at first, and probably still today, when you say that, you might get some responses like, well, you can't move a highway, or how are people going to get where they're going? So talk about how you respond to those people, and what is it that you really want to see happen here?
Well, to people who say it cannot be done, I say, yes, it can be done. And it has been done in several cities, not only in the United States, but it's also been done outside of the United States. So this is not an impossibility. Could you repeat your second question?
Yeah, and sort of are we talking about, I mean, I've read sort of making that highway or expressway just ground level, right? Is that that's one sort of solution to this, right?
That is the only solution for the health of Treme and the Seventh Ward and really, there are other solutions for the removal or the burial of urban highways, but in New Orleans, we can't bury, we must remove. And removing ramps will only make I-10 a super highway for heavy truck traffic. So that's not an answer for us either, because it'll only make matters worse. We'll get more emissions and more pollution. So it has to be removed.
And in terms of the infrastructure plan, if it's again, we don't know that much at this point, but there's a $20 billion fund that would help address some of these issues. And this is where it singles out Claiborne. Have you heard anything yet about what this could be used, what this money could be used for at this point?
I haven't heard the specifics of President Biden's plan, but there have been other plans, both in the Senate and the House. They've been parked there since 2019. My assumption is that the president's plan probably has a little bit of both, but the activities ranged from engineering studies for advocates who are just getting started to actual matches for removal. So there are a range of activities that you could undertake to actually get this work done. And it is a step-by-step process. Mm.
And I'm sure when you talk about making decisions like this with a $20 billion fund, I'm sure you can see a long line of federal officials, local officials, state officials, all wanting to get involved and decide how the money gets spent. But it seems like you'd want to have not only the input of the folks living there, but really having them lead the process, right, in terms of kind of helping address this and figuring out how they'd like to see this money spent, right?
Right. The community should lead the process. And the president's plan does call for a lot of community-led activities. So there's quite a bit of opportunity within the bill for community to participate. And we should participate, especially since we are the ones who have been harmed by the presence of the interstate. So it's only right that community be included as this plan goes forward, and as our efforts in the city go forward. We all have to be walking the same walk in New Orleans.
And again, you're listening to Louisiana Considered here on WWNO and WRKF. We're speaking with Amy Stelly, a designer and board member of New Orleans Urban Conservancy, and she also co-founded the Claiborne Avenue Alliance. Amy, the Claiborne Expressway is just one example of these transportation projects that are now under the microscope for these historic inequities that they've caused. Are there other projects in this region that also should be discussed when we start talking about projects like this?
Absolutely. We really have to seriously look at what's being proposed for I-49 between Shreveport and Lafayette. In both cases, I-49 stands to harm historically Black communities. We cannot continue to do this. And the Biden administration is certainly speaking to the nation and saying that we have to come up with other transportation alternatives, and they do exist. So in the state of Louisiana, we have three cities that really, where we need to rethink our transportation decisions, New Orleans for sure, and definitely Lafayette and Shreveport. And I can say the advocacy in Shreveport is pretty strong, and we have vowed to help our fellow freeway fighters in Lafayette. Mm. So you will begin to see, a triangle in the city of freeway fighters network, triangular network, so that we get all corners of the state. And we do have other experts that live in Monroe who know quite a bit about transportation. So the good thing for Louisiana is that we have a great knowledge base here and a lot of interest in people who really want to make the environment and the built environment better.
And of course, also in that plan, it talked about sort of extending some Amtrak train routes. So it's interesting, yes, always the way these things always are connected, right? I'm sure as someone who studies this sort of thing.
It's all connected, and I can tell you the inclusion of rail, including our rapid bus transit, looking at other types of transportation options is really what we need to successfully take highways down, but still give people good, efficient transit, because folks use the interstate because they think it's the fastest way to get from A and B, when in fact it is not. And I have photographed and observed and timed traffic that's riding on the deck, because I can see the deck from my house. I live right near the Orleans Avenue ramp, and a block and a half from the elevated deck. And more often than not, the traffic on the surface road on Claiborne is moving a lot faster than the traffic on the deck. So it's a misconception that interstates get us there faster. It's a habit.
Right.
It's not a necessity. It's a habit. In some places, it's a necessity. In New Orleans, it's a habit.
And I'm sure it must be important to sort of put this question before elected officials and have them on the record. I mean, we have a special election coming up. I mean, have you heard anything from either of the two candidates that are in the runoff, Troy Carter or Karen Carter-Peterson, about where they stand on this issue?
Yes, I have, actually. And I've asked both of them in Zoom forums about their positions on the interstate. Troy Carter has consistently said that he supports removal. Karen Carter-Peterson has said that she will support removal if the community favors it. So we have a definite yes and a yes if.
And I guess, again, it's a, I mean, I guess there's a question of whether the community today would support this. But from your understanding of talking to neighbors and folks there, is the general sense that they would support addressing this?
Yes, my neighbors support removing it. And they do want it addressed, because all of us have had to live with this for many, many years. Treme is fortunate in that there are many homeowners who have been here for decades and who have had to live with the neighborhood when it was at its worst. So we deserve to be made whole. You know, we stuck with Treme, we stuck with the Seventh Ward when it wasn't the best place to live and the quality of life wasn't that great. So we want to see better. And there is more support to remove this than I think our political leaders know.
Great.
We want it gone.
And before we let you go, I just have to ask, what was it like finding out that this was going to be in the plan?
Well, I was floored. I never expected it. I received a call from the Washington Post at 8 a.m. saying that President Biden had called us out, and it was really the shock of my life, a great shock. It was a great way to start my day.
Amazing. And I guess the big question is, what's next? What would you like to, what's next after this plan is announced? More sort of input with federal stakeholders about this announcement?
Definitely, I would like to continue talking to the federal stakeholders, but we really need to have a conversation on the local level. That has been the missing piece in this. So the city leaders and the community need to come together and talk about what's next.
Amazing. Great. Well, thank you, Amy, so much for being here today. And we'll definitely have you on as we cover this story.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's Amy Stelly, designer and board member of New Orleans Urban Conservancy and co-founder of the Claiborne Avenue Alliance, a group dedicated to removing the Claiborne Avenue Expressway. We've been talking to her about the Biden plan, singling out the Claiborne Avenue Expressway. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you very much.
And you've been listening to Louisiana Considered here on WWNO and WRKF. I'm Patrick Madden. You can always find podcast episodes of Louisiana Considered on your favorite podcasting platforms, and we'll have this episode up later this afternoon. And you can also go to our websites to stream the show, and we'll have that at wwno.org and wrkf.org. Thank you for listening.